Yes, good afternoon. Our meetings are coming to a close. Somehow I have the privilege of preaching the last weekend. I had the last topic also. This weekend, the last topic. I'm not sure what that means. I interpret that. It's a privilege to be here and talk about the Lord and what the Lord does. And to recognize that God's work in each of us, God works individually. We were not created with a cookie cutter. I don't see any two identical faces here. God is creative. And his working with each one of us is creative. So the way he worked in my life will be different from the way he works in your life. There are some basics, true, that are the same. But it's not something that we just, well, he did that, so I should do that too. Well, pray about it. Ask the Lord if that's the way you're supposed to do it, if you're supposed to do it a little different than what he or she said. So we're grateful for a God like that. I really believe in prayer. And after a very, very good lunch, maybe we need some prayer to stay awake. But you won't have any problem with that, I don't think. But no, to pray and just ask God to continue speaking to us. We thank God for what he said thus far. But I need more. Hopefully we all can use a little bit more. So I'd like to ask for four men to lead out in prayer. Just asking God to, for this session, not only this session, but pray around the world. Pray for whatever God puts in your heart in relation to kingdom work. Okay, so who will be the four men that will pray? Okay, here's one, two, three, four. Okay, stand up if you would please, and let's join them in prayer.
Father God, we thank you for this weekend that we could all come together. And God, I pray that you would continue to fill us with your spirit as we leave. And we know that there are many lost people in this world, and there is few people here, but Lord, we know that you are powerful, and we ask that you would continue to multiply people that have a heart for you, Lord, and that ambassadors for you would continue to come forth and be faithful in this calling. And Lord, I think there's so many Renees out there, Lord, in this world that
yes,
are desiring
Lord.
To know you, Father. And
Lord, yes, Lord.
Maybe there's one person that next year will be here because somebody was faithful here that acted on a call this week. So Lord, I pray that you would help us to go home and to keep our hearts and eyes fixed on you.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, that we would be
yes, Lord.
Willing to answer a call, and, but also at the same time that we'd be willing to wait on you. Just pray that you'd be with this further service, be with Bob. Just pray that you'd open up his heart.
Yes, and, Lord Jesus.
And also that you would bring clarity to his mind as he shared with us. We ask this also, Lord, we pray for this community right here. We pray for Hamburg. We also pray
Lord.
For people's hearts around here.
Mm-hmm.
We would give this church here a fire for kingdom work.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for the privilege of having ears to hear. And I pray, Lord, that we could hear what your spirit has to say to your church this afternoon. Father, keep our ears in tune with you. Make us really good listeners. Lord, help us to practice the skill and the art of listening and in our whole beings, Lord. And Lord, show us how not just to be hearers only, but to be doers of your word. In Jesus' name.
Lord, thank you for the work here at Way of the Cross. Thank you for their warm inclusiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I pray that you work in our hearts as we conclude our weekend here. Bob shares from his heart
Lord Jesus.
For the young people who are preparing to go out for a lifeless service, Lord, I pray that you bless them in their preparation and as they study and have their hearts open. For those of us who have been serving for years, Lord, I pray that you continue the work you've begun in our life, that we would be actively involved in sharing the gospel, and that our lives would be tuned to what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We could be a channel to your Bible. We love you. bless us as a community of believers. Help us to be a blessing to our generation.
Yes, Lord.
Father, thank you for the weekend that you've given us, that we can learn more about you. Give us courage and strength to tackle what is heard, and that we would be doers of your word, and that we would be a fire and a light and shine bright in the darkest places of the world. Thank you that your gospel is hope, and that your gospel is true, and that we can trust in you by and share the world.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much for praying, brothers, and thank you for praying not only today, but thank you for praying. Prayer is where we connect to God. Through prayer and His Word is where we hear from God, and our lives are guided by what we hear from God. So I'm just very grateful for that. And for my wife and I, if the Lord prompts you to pray, please do. We undoubtedly are needing it. So just pray for us, and we always need prayer, so if it's often, why just go ahead and pray. We thank you very much for that. The Bible is our guide in every issue of life. He says in His Word, as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Isn't that a blessing that we're talking about wealth today? And so we looked to other books and so on, but the Word of God has the basics of what we need. It's, He says, all things that pertain to life and godliness. So there's a lot of keys in this book relating to every aspect of life. So we need to meditate, we need to study, we need to learn more about that. So evaluating wealth in light of eternity. Wow, what is wealth? You know, Brother Phil was handing out some white papers, and so I thought maybe I'd hand out some green papers. Then I had second thoughts. I wouldn't have enough for all of you anyway, so you probably don't need it. So, but how many of our eyes brightened up? Money. Money is so important. It's, we need money to live. We have to buy things. We have to pay bills. We have to use money for that. And so we can't just say, no, I'm just going to forget money and I'm not going to have anything to do with it. I'm not sure how you're going to live. If you don't, of course, a lot of it now is these little plastic cards, so you don't need much of this anymore. But there needs to be some of this where the plastic cards come from to take care of that. So I'll just stick this back in here just so Lauren doesn't get any. I believe that love is a key to understanding this life's issues from a godly perspective. I believe love is a key. And so the question comes to us, what do I love most? What I love most is where I give my time and my energy. So where is our love? And this one thing that Satan and the world continually tries to distract us and get us to love other stuff other than God. And the Word says that we are to love God with all of our hearts, souls, mind, strength, all. We are to love God. God is to be in first place in our lives. So I continually have to come back to that and say, Lord, check me out. You know, at this age we're at, we sometimes go to the doctor and say, you know, check me out, see how things are going inside. But we come to God and say, Lord, how am I doing? And to be honest with God. And where is our love? And so we talk about wealth, and the big question that comes up, how much is enough? How many of you have enough? Okay, some weren't sure. Because how much is enough? Huge question that we have. How much is enough? And the common answer, jokingly and possibly very realistically, a little bit more. If I had a little bit more, then I would have enough. But the little bit more never gets to the end. You know, it's just a little bit more, and I have enough. So Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, I'd like to read a few verses here. Very familiar verses. Chapter 6 and verse 19, he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there," what's the rest of it? "There will your heart be also." God says that where your treasure is, there will your heart be. That's where my heart is. Where I put my treasure, that's where my heart is going to be. That's what I love. So we must be very, very, very careful. Now, starts out in verse 19. It says, "Do not." Now, is there any part of that that's hard to understand? Do not. We tell our children we think they should understand, right? But here, God is saying to us, Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Do not." Now, does it say, "Do not lay up treasures on earth"? Is that what it says? There's two little words in there. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. So he's not saying, do not lay up treasures, but do not lay up treasures for yourselves. Now, how does that work? To lay up treasures, but not for myself. Is that easy? Probably not. For most of it's probably not easy. Because good old self is just always there. And good old self just always wants something, you know, for self. And he says, the key there, do not lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Do lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Do lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. We want that day for the Lord to say to us, "Well done, good, faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I will place you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." We want to hear that, right? We want to hear God say that to us. So, he says, do not lay up treasures for yourself, but do lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Things that don't, where moth and rust and the stock market don't corrupt. In heaven, you don't have to worry about those things. What's stored in heaven is secure. Security. And one thing that we like about money is it gives some sense of security. If I have a few of those hundreds in my pocket, I feel more secure than if I just have a couple of ones. Because I have enough in case, you know, I have enough to buy something, to pay something. So we get security from that stuff. But God says our security must be in heaven. Stuff that we do for God, his kingdom work. And I hear a lot of times people saying, "I wish I had more time for ministry. I wish I had more time for ministry." But then there's another sentence there. So why don't we have more time for ministry? Well, yeah, for pastors especially, other people as well, I guess. But there's always tension in life. Because there's more things to do than there is time to do them. At least that's what I find. One time I asked Alan, I said, "How do you get all this stuff done? You know, how do you get all your work done?" And his answer was, "I don't." There are things that he would like to do that just simply don't get done. And I'm sure all of our lives are that way. So it's so important to set our priorities in what we do. And we set our priorities as God leads us, to do the most important things, and some things just won't get done. But let's beware to not leave the things that don't get done as to be the most important things. Let's be sure to do what is most important. And the most important things are things that lay up treasures in heaven for us. It was a special privilege this time in Mexico. We had the blessing of being there in Choix. We were there for about a month. We go down about two times a year, as they've asked me to be overseer or advisor for the churches. They're actually advisor for the Hispanic churches here in the States and Mexico. So we go down to Mexico about a month, two times a year, two different times. And down there this time, and there were about eight people that prayed to receive Christ this time. And so praise the Lord. I mean, it's just God working in their lives. And it wasn't because we were there. I'm not saying that at all. But the local people are continually living their testimony for Christ. And I've had that privilege. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not. I thank God I'm married to an evangelist. But I'm not. I like to preach, and a lot of times I preach, people accept Christ, but it's because they were already prepared. Their hearts were prepared by other people before they came to church, you know. And I happen to be the one that gives an invitation or whatever. So that is a special privilege. But God uses all of us in preparing people. Everyone that we meet is on a spiritual journey. Every person is on a spiritual journey. They may know nothing about God. They may be believers, mature Christians. And so the people that we meet are somewhere along that continuum. And as we witness to people, it's a blessing to just try to discern a little bit, where are they on this continuum? Because we want to push people, encourage people in the direction of knowing Christ and maturity in Christ, right? We would like to see everybody. Wouldn't this be a wonderful town if everybody were a dedicated believer in your town? Wouldn't that be? That's what God wants. That's what God wants. So we have this continuum. And so if they don't know anything about God, we have to start there in working with them, introducing them to God, to His Word. And those that are mature in Christ, there's some point in this line where there's new birth. And they're born again, and so then they continue growing and grow into maturity in Christ. So our goal is always to help people to get to maturity in Christ. So lay up treasures in heaven. I'm sure we'll meet a lot of people in heaven. Many that may be introduced to us and say, do you remember that day back there, and whatever, that you said a word to this person, or you gave them a Bible, or you whatever, you remember that? And we'll probably say, no, I don't remember. And God would say that because of that, He's here in heaven. Somebody said also, and maybe surprised other people, some people may be surprised to see us in heaven. Hope not. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So going on down in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31, he says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, I know that you don't worry about tomorrow, right? You never think about, never concerned about what's going to happen tomorrow, right? I wish we could say that. But worry, we don't worry, but we're concerned, right? That's a different term. Sometimes we try to get off the hook that way. But God, in His greatness, He says, don't worry about tomorrow. And specifically, He says, what we shall eat or what we shall drink, material things, material wealth. Don't worry about tomorrow. I know when COVID came along, I think there was probably a lot of extra worrying got done when COVID came along in regard to finances and all this stuff. What is going to happen? What about, what if, and what if, and what if, and what if, and what if? But my observation would be that most of the people I have been in contact with came out fairly well financially from COVID. I realize there are some things that happened and whatever. But things come along that we worry about. And God says, don't worry. But he says the key to that is your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. God is aware of every person in the world. And not only every person, all 7 billion of us, but also the birds, right? What does it say about the birds? Not one bird falls to the ground, but that God is aware of it. Birds, which as boys with our slingshot, we may have brought a few of them down to the ground. God knows that. And God knows you and I. And God loves us. And God wants to care for us. That doesn't mean he's going to fill our bank accounts. Because more trust comes, more seeking God when the billfold is empty than when it's full. At least that's the case for me. More crying out to God, more drawing near to God when finances are scant. Think God likes that? Of course. God says, we'll just make a little scant and we'll get into communion here. We'll have some good fellowship with him. God loves fellowship. God loves communion with us. Sometimes we're so busy doing our things, we don't have time for fellowship with God. And so God sometimes puts some things in there to cause us to stop and really seek him. And that's because he loves us. He wants time with us. He wants us to walk with him daily. So he said, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. Don't worry about it. Trust the Lord. Your Father knows that. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. This is one of the reasons we don't have enough time for the spiritual ministry that sometimes we desire. In some cases, let the Lord talk to you. I'm not, because I don't know your personal lives and how you manage that. But seek first the kingdom of God. How many times do we say, well, I have to work this amount of time to provide for my family, which is we need to provide for our families, and so I don't have enough time for ministry. Is that the way it should be? What does God say? Seek first, and God loves a family, believe me. God created families. And he's not asking us to abandon our families, ever. Never. He commands us as fathers, husbands, to care for our families, provide for them. He commands that. So that's part of seeking God. But do we seek God in that way more than we should, and we don't seek ministry opportunities that God brings to us? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. So number one priority in our prayer life should be, Lord, what is your will? Show me your will. We have traditions, and some traditions are good, some aren't, but some traditions are good. Traditions of our heritage of hard work. Working hard work. And working 40 hours a week is pretty much a minimum. And from there on up, working 40 hours a week, it's kind of, if you're not working 40 hours a week, then you must be lazy or you must be something. I haven't found that in the Bible where it says you must work 40 hours. God says provide for your family. So maybe you can provide for your family with 30 hours a week. Then you'd have those other 10 hours for ministry, for reaching out to your neighbors, or reaching out somewhere else. Seek first the kingdom of God. God, how should I arrange my life? How many hours should I work? And then let him answer. Ask God. I'm not telling you. I wouldn't dare to do that. I don't know. But ask God. So that the most important things, laying up treasures in heaven, will not get pushed off and then we didn't have time for it. I don't know if that makes sense. that making sense? What do I worry more about? What I will eat tomorrow or the salvation of my neighbor? Which takes priority in my life? Or the salvation of people in Timbuktu, some other part of the world? Then another verses that the Lord gives us in Luke chapter 12. I'll read a couple of verses here in Luke chapter 12. And verse 15, he says like this. He said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Beware of covetousness. What's covetousness? Covetousness, another word I believe for covetousness is greediness. Oh, God forbid, we're not greedy people. We would not be greedy, I'm sure. But covetousness, wanting more. See someone else has something and, well, that'd be nice. That'd be handy. And good old Amazon. Anybody know what Amazon? Anybody use? I like Amazon. I buy stuff on. I prefer that than going shopping. I don't. But Amazon's too easy. So sometimes I buy stuff and without thinking twice about little stuff. Not talking even about big stuff. Little stuff. I buy too much stuff. And then my wife says, "Why'd you buy that?" She's more alert to those things sometimes than I am. But Amazon makes it too easy to just spend your money, buy it. It's easy. Tomorrow, it'll come tomorrow, or today. Sometimes even this afternoon, it'll be delivered. And so they tempt us with all this stuff. You should have this. And the people that are selling it are always smiling. You ever notice that? The advertisements of people are always smiling. You never see anybody crying when they're advertising something. The idea that you'll be happy too if you buy it. The tactics that they use are tremendous. They study up on that to figure out how to do that. I was reading where the potato chip companies do surveys and investigations and all this kind of stuff to see what it is that people like to eat. And so they give the flavors and put the stuff in, the fat and all that good stuff in there that tastes good, so that you eat it and 5 minutes later you're hungry again and you eat some more. And they put that stuff in purposely because it's a business and they want to sell it. We're not in that business. That's other stuff. But beware of covetousness. Beware of covetousness. Be careful. Be careful. In church, it happens. We see somebody else has something. Wow. That'd be nice. And maybe I have one that's a year older, but still works. But boy, it'd be nice to have that. And that has these features on mine doesn't have. And we start reasoning within ourselves, and we can soon come up with a lot of good reasons to go to Amazon and buy it. More stuff than we need. And then our houses get full, so we have to build on to them. So we have more places to put stuff. And I have to put more shelves in because we don't have enough room to put things in. Now we'll build a little room out the back because we need room to store our stuff. And, of course, the room out back, we have to maintain it. You have to put a lock on. You have to paint it once in a while. You have to, yeah, it's a never-ending thing. So then when we get too much, then we have a garage sale and sell it. Sell it for a few pennies on a dollar for what we paid for it. And then the next day we go to the garage sales in the neighborhood and see what we can buy from them. And our problem comes back to what I mentioned at the beginning. Problem comes back to our love. Where is our love? Is our love in our stuff or is it our love for the Lord? So beware, he says, beware of covetousness. And then he goes on and tells us that little parable there in Luke 12:16, where he says, he spake a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, You have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So he gives us this little parable. The I and the my are at least 10 times in this parable. I, my. Human selfishness. It's right there. Human selfishness. So he says, beware of that. The Lord says, ye are the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. We are to be salt. What good is salt if it loses its saltiness? Not good for anything. Let's throw it out in the road. Let them drive over it. And how many times are we as Christians guilty of that? We're just like everybody else. And I'm not talking about outward dress necessarily. But in our way of living, our houses, our cars, our stuff that we have. Like everybody else. So what's the salt? Are we salt or are we not? Are we just fitting in with everybody else? Or are we willing to be a little different? Maybe God is calling us to something radical in regards to finances. Maybe living in a tiny house. How would that be? I'm not sure that's the answer, but tiny houses are expensive as the big ones now. But stuff that we accumulate, my stuff, salt of the earth. God wants us to be salt of the earth. I interviewed a couple of businessmen, Christian businessmen, and asked them some questions, told them I had this topic, and said, hey, what advice would you have? So here's some of the things that they said. One young man in his early 20s set out to establish a business to make more money. He thought that'd be great to have more money. But didn't take him very long. He's a Christian. He found out that wasn't very fulfilling. He had more money, but so what? Didn't really bring joy to him like he'd thought. He soon realized that having more to give more is fulfilling. Having more to give more is fulfilling. Another brother shared how he had seen another brother in the church who gave a lot of time to missions. He was in a missions program. He gave a lot of time traveling to other countries and so on. And found out that his lawnmower was about worn out. And so he went and he bought him a new lawnmower. He had business. He had a business of his own. And he went and bought a new lawnmower for this other brother who needed one. He said this. He said, business is not about how much you make. It's about sharing God's love with those whom you relate to in your business. Brother Phil this morning said that very same thing, didn't he? He said his customers, he wants to be sure in some way to communicate Christ to the people that come in. Integrity in business dealings speaks loudly. He said also, missions get money from people that have successful businesses. Who is the owner? If God has blessed our business, then we're responsible to give account for how it is used. Years back, first place we went in mission work, we went to Rio Blanco, Nicaragua. And a little village, 150 houses maybe. And that was before the days of electricity or telephones or running water. The only running water was in the river, Rio Blanco, White River. It was about 50 yards from our house, and there's river water was running all the time there. And a friend came down to visit us from Indiana. And with my folks, and another businessman from our home area. And he came down, he saw our lives, and went back into town and wanted to see them off. And he said, let's go to the Honda shop. So we went to the Honda shop, and he bought us a little Honda generator. And so a little 1,500-watt Honda generator. And so we bought some wire, and we wired our house, and we had a generator. Instead of using Coleman lanterns, we had a little generator. But he had resources, but he didn't keep them for himself. He gave to us, and I know he gave to other people as well. So what we have, don't necessarily look at it to be our own. To be among the wealthiest half of the world, an adult needed to own how much in assets? This is according to internet. Internet's always right. But I believe it's probably close to true. How many dollars would we need in assets to be in the wealthiest half of the world? Yes. Throw out a number.
4,000.
What about the rest of you?
$100.
$1,000. According to that information, if you have $3,200 in net assets, you're in the wealthiest half of the world. $3,200. Which half of the world are we in? Most of us. Go on. To be in the top 10% of the world's population in wealth, top 10%, a person needed to have how much? 50. 20. A little more than that. According to this information, 68,000. If you have $68,000 in assets, you're among the top 10% of the world's population. Most of us, if we drove a car here, probably beyond that. Except Phil, he said it's worth $1,000. I'm not sure. So we don't like to say that we're rich. Now, we can point our fingers and say, oh, that person is rich. But according to that information, most of us would fall into probably the top category, probably the top 10% of the world's population. So what did Jesus say about the rich people and getting into heaven? He said, it's hard. It's hard for rich people to get into heaven. What does that say to us? What does that say to us? I think we need to look very, very seriously at this. And talking to another businessman, very practical one, he said, don't spend more than you make. Is that easy enough? You never go in debt if you don't spend more than you make. The little plastic cards can be so tricky and so easy to build up a debt. And debts are easy to come by, difficult to get rid of. He said, also said, plan to leave what is left after death to places that will put it to good use. Plan your estate. Plan your things. This was an older person. He said, taking for granted that by that time your children will be well established and they don't really need it. So plan where you want it to go. And this, you don't have to be 65 to do that kind of planning. If you have assets, plan for it. Where will it go? What will it do? So anyway, here's some practical steps that can help us to evade covetousness, stay away from it. Recognize that everything we have belongs to the Lord. So your assignment for today, when you get home, walk around your house, your barn, your shed, your business, your checkbook, etc., and pray, giving each item to the Lord. Lord, it's Ben, it's yours. Lord, this shirt is yours. Everything you see, just a little exercise. Lord, this car I drive, my name's on the title, not the one I have here. But it's yours, Lord. It's not mine. Because it really is, right? But how often do we say, my car, my house, my... We go back to what we saw in the man that tore down his barns and built bigger ones. It was all my. Are we guilty of doing the same thing? Saying my, and yeah, we know it's the Lord, but still it's mine. So that's an assignment I give to you. When you go home, go over everything you see and just, Lord, this is yours. Lord, this is yours. which means that we can use it. That doesn't mean you sell it tomorrow, unless he says to, because his. So he makes the decisions, not you. Takes the burden off of you. All you do is say, yes, Lord, whatever you say. Can we trust the Lord that far? I know you do. But I leave this for us as a challenge. Ask God for wisdom in purchases. Set a spending limit amount above which you'll consult with your wife or a friend before you buy it. Not sure what that amount would be. It takes $100 to fill a gas tank now. So, yeah. He hasn't forgotten that $100. The other thing, be generous in giving. Be generous in giving. I know that you are. I know that you you love to give. In 2 Corinthians, he says, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he goes on and says, he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. That's God's law. That's the way God works. In the words of Brother Bob Kaufman, God's scoop shovel is bigger than mine, Bob has said many times. And they like to give. Not only that, I don't want to point them out. I know them more personally than a lot of you. But be generous in your giving. We have a lot. Be generous in sharing it. It's God's. It's not mine. I put that $100 bill back in my pocket. But I have to recognize it's not mine. It's God's. If God tells me to give it to Lauren, I'll give it to him.
Don't worry.
The last time we were in Mexico, the Lord gave us a privilege to take a few days to go to Cancun. I don't know how many of you have been to Cancun, but resort town there. We've heard a lot about it, never been there before. And that was for our 50th wedding anniversary, this couple weeks ago. So usually we go to Mexico, we go to work, and we come back from work, and we don't take time for it. So went to Cancun, but then we got, I say, rooked into one of these promotional deals. Yeah. And it was supposed to take a couple hours and took almost the whole day and ruined the whole day. And at the end of the high-pressure salesman, you know, that you get a share in this thing and it costs so much and you have it, good for 100 years. You know, great. You know, probably not going to be around that long. But then the next pressure salesman came and they lowered the amounts, you know, they lower amounts for this and this covers this and that. I've lost track after a while. Each time we said, we don't make decisions today. We pray about things before we do them. I'm sorry, we're not going to. Next high-pressure salesman, lowered the prices lower yet. And the last high-pressure salesman, you know, said, now we have to pray over things. We're not going to make a decision today. We don't make decisions quickly. And had no intention of buying it anyway. And he said, well, if I step aside, couldn't you just pray right now? And just ask them. He said, I don't mean to be sacrilegious or anything. He said, but couldn't you just pray now? Oh, but he was, it had to be that day, you know, or else you lose your opportunity, you know. So he was pressuring for that day. Well, we didn't buy into it. But to be available for kingdom work, it's always safe to not have debts. Set an amount that you need to live on. Anything above that, give it away. Give it to the Lord. Give it to his work. Some businessmen are very successful and earn a lot of money. They have that kind of brains, and I'm glad for them. I don't. But set an amount that with our family, at this point, we can live on X amount. More than that comes in, we give it away. Give it to someone that needs it, to a mission, to Bible translation. I really believe in Bible translation. But to remember, I gave you an assignment, right? Remember what it was? No, you forgot already. To go home and
pray
and release everything to the Lord. Every item. Lord, this is yours. Lord, this is yours. Lord, that is yours. And it's available for kingdom use. Whatever God says, he's the one that directs. And he can keep us from covetousness. He knows how to protect us. He wants to protect us. He doesn't want to fall into that trap. So he will show us how to do that. We have been, my wife and I, we have been blessed so abundantly. God has taken care of us. Something over 40 years ago, we're in Nicaragua, Alan and I, working together, Alan and our wives, families, of course, and Dan Byler working with us. And after reading about Hudson Taylor and George Mueller and some of those guys, we said, let's step out in faith. And so made a decision. We notified the mission. We felt guided of the Lord to do that. We said, mission, our office. We said, we don't want to receive your missionary allowance. Anything comes in for us, earmarked for us, would you please deposit it in our account? And we'll be under you administratively, because I believe under authority, being under authority is something very, very important for all of us. We need to be under authority. So we're still under authority, but we don't want your allowance. That was a new thought for the mission at that time. And one of the mission board members said, well, if you really start getting hungry, can we send you tickets and bring you home? Well, it never happened. That was 40-some years ago, and God has been faithful. God has provided. God provided for us some people here that are moving to New York City. God provided for us in New York City. And expensive living there, right, Rich? Is it still expensive? Have prices gone down any? No. Very expensive. Why don't you live in a cheaper place? I mean, much cheaper out here in the mountains of Pennsylvania somewhere. No, that's not where God called. We go where God calls because God has people there and God wants us to share his message with those people. So we don't ask, well, how much is it going to cost? We just say, Lord, you say go, I will go. I'll trust you to provide. And the Lord has provided for us. And we think, of course, too, we're getting older, and then when we can't pull our share of the load anymore, what? The Lord's promises are still there. Haven't changed. He doesn't say these promises are good up to 65, and from that point on, they're canceled out, No. So a year ago, a year and a half ago, we were able to purchase a little property there in Sarasota, just north of the airport in Bradenton, actually. And one of our daughters, we have two daughters living in Sarasota. And it's right close to a shuffleboard. No, it's not really. Not really, it's not. They were able to purchase a property. They have a bigger house. They have four daughters, and they have a bigger house. And we have a little cottage right side of it. Some of you may have been. Yeah, some of you have been there. And God provided, but had to re-renovate it. And so we were able to pay for it. We didn't have the money. God provided. Some of you have contributed to that. And we didn't ask anybody for a dollar. Didn't ask anybody for money. We prayed, Lord, if this is your will, then please provide. If not, that's okay. We'll rent or whatever. We're able to pay our share of the property, and we're able to renovate our little cottage, and we finished that, and we're living in that, very nice, about 700 square feet, which is, for two people, is good enough, plenty of room. So God provided, and some of you helped us with that, and we so appreciate that. But God, again, just affirming to us, I'll take care of you. I will take care of you. Dedicate yourself to doing his will. He'll take care of the rest of it. Well, past our time. Sorry about that. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for sharing. Could we take just a few minutes and we'll just do in silent prayer. Just pray over some of these things. Ask God, Lord, what are you saying to me? God's faithful. His Holy Spirit is faithful. His Holy Spirit is here today. He has been today. And he'll indicate to you if there are some steps that you need to take. Okay? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise you, we bless you. You're the owner of the cattle on a thousand hills. You're the owner of all the banks in the world. You're the owner of us. We have been bought with a price, the price of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are not our own, but we belong to you. And we are here today to give ourselves to you, Heavenly Father, for your kingdom work, Lord Jesus. I pray, Heavenly Father, for each of my brothers and sisters here, whatever your will is for their lives, Father, you know where they are, where you want them to go. Show them the way, Lord Jesus. But help us, God, I pray, guard us from love of money, because the love of money is the root of all evil. Help us, I pray, Lord Jesus, and we will give you the glory and the honor, and your kingdom will be advanced, and new churches will be planted, and missionaries will go to new places, because your people are faithful in listening to you. Thank you so much, Father. You are a merciful and gracious God. In Jesus' name, amen.